With the mess at the hotel cleaned up, Tom and Sheila ushered Anya and Jenny outside to the back of the hotel. To Anya's shock, the sun was starting to set, and as it dipped toward the horizon, it painted the area in reds and oranges. Anya looked at Tom.
You're gonna do it right out here in the open?
You think we're that stupid?
Considering everything you've done so far, yeah. That thought has crossed my mind.
Shut your mouth, or I'll put a slug through your pal's head.
Sheila put her pistol up to Jenny's head, and Tom pointed to the Chevy Tahoe.
Get in the truck. Sheila, you drive.
Tom kept the Mossberg pointed at Anya and Jenny.
Hey, you thinking of firing that cannon in the car if those two try something?
Don't worry about it. I got it under control.
Yeah, I bet.
Tom hopped into the front, resting the shotgun on the back of the seat.
Sheila, go slow getting us out of town and watch the bumps. I don't want the gun going off accidentally. That'd be a shame, huh, Anya?
I'm sure you'd lose sleep over it.
Sheila pulled out onto the main road. Anya glanced around, but as usual, the place seemed pretty deserted. Jenny looked out of the window. Her face looked gloomy. Tom nodded at her.
What's her problem?
Man trouble.
Anya!
Let me guess. Was it Dave?
Yeah. Guy was a charmer. Went to all that trouble to get Jenny out here, then jumped all over me.
You're lying! Dave was with me the entire time!
For a guy so devoted to you, it sure seems like he made a big effort to get any other women out here that he could. You should have heard the way he was talking to me last night at his place. You would have thought he hadn't seen a woman in years.
You're lying again!
Fine. Think that if you want. But the truth is, it's probably better your brother shot him without consulting you first. Saved you both a whole lot of trouble.
Tom, you didn't have to kill him!
Oh, for Christ's sake, Sheila. Dave was always supposed to take his cut and go, remember? He cared about the money, not you. Besides, we're heading for Central America with millions of dollars. Latin men think fat women are hot. Fat women with money are even hotter. Trust me, okay? You'll forget all about Dave.
I better.
Sheila snapped her eyes to the front and stared hard out of the windshield. Tom kept his eyes focused on Anya.
I know what you're trying to do, so stop.
Where are we going, anyway?
Back to the site of your untimely escape earlier this morning.
The cavern? What's so special about that place?
Our final shipment is waiting for us to pick it up. Once we have it, we'll make the rendezvous and the exchange. In the morning, Sheila and I will drive down to the bank in Edison and make our final withdrawal.
Take the money and run?
You got it. We got an appointment to pick up our new passports tomorrow afternoon and then an evening flight down the coast to San Francisco. From there, we have our choice of destinations, preferably someplace with no extradition treaty.
Yeah. Too bad you two will be staying here. Permanently. Can't let you interfere.
Like Dave, Sheila? But at least this way you get to split the money only two ways instead of three. That's the real reason you shot him back there, wasn't it, Tom?
No, it wasn't. Now shut up.
Just checking. Sure seemed like a good way to ensure a few extra million for you and Sheila. At least until she becomes a liability as well.
Say anything else and I'll blow your head off. Sheila and I are in this together.
Is that what you told Dave?
Is it, Tom?
Sheila, would you forget about Dave? He's gone, okay? I did what I had to do to make sure you and I are safe. That's the point, isn't it? That we get out of this thing alive. Who cares about Dave anyway?
Well, I did. A lot. He was the first guy to be kind to me.
He played you like he played every other chick he came into contact with. Ask this one what that was like.
Sheila glanced in the rearview mirror at Jenny, who stared back at her somberly.
Did he really convince you that you were special?
Yes, he did. And he never mentioned you at all. Who knows how many other women he hurt?
You see, Sheila, I told you, he was no good for you. You can do much better than him, and you will, once we get to where we're going.
The truck hit a big pothole, and Anya winced as the barrel of the shotgun jerked in Tom's hands.
God damn it, Sheila! Pay attention to what you're doing! Look, lady, for the last time, stop trying to distract my sister. She doesn't know what's best for her anyway. I do.
You know what's best for me? Just like always, huh? You've always got to take care of me. Like I'm some idiot who can't look after herself.
That's not what I meant, and you know it.
No, I don't know that. I don't know that at all.
I'm sorry. Look, can we just get to the cave, find our stuff, get rid of these two, and leave before anyone else knows what's going on?
We're almost there.
The road turned into packed gravel that ended some distance ahead. But it wasn't that far away, maybe only a few hundred yards. Thick stands of pine trees barred the road, but a small pathway cut through them. That was probably the route they'd taken to the caves. The truck came to a sudden stop, and Sheila wrenched the gear shift into park.
Is that the entrance?
Through there, just a short walk away. I don't want to tire you ladies out. You got one more job to do.
Like what?
I'm not much into carrying large amounts of narcotics by myself. You two will make fine pack mules for a few trips.
Overhead, dark storm clouds drifted in, and every now and again, Anya could feel a few drops of rain. Jenny walked around to Anya. Tom nudged them along with his shotgun.
Trail's over this way. Let's not waste any time.
Anya and Jenny poked through the branches and started walking. Another stiff breeze blew in, carrying with it the scent of pine, but Anya could also smell the nearby river. Sheila led the way toward a large outcropping of boulders that sat near the bank of the river. High up off the trail, in the beam of Sheila's flashlight, Anya could see a cleft in the rock.
Through there!
Tom stayed down below, his shotgun still trained on the opening. Sheila scampered up the rocks with the sure-footedness of familiarity. Anya climbed first and then reached back to help Jenny scramble up the rock face. Once there, Sheila pointed the way inside with her flashlight. Anya ducked into the opening, followed by Jenny. Sheila came after them both and gestured with the pistol.
The packages are over there, beyond the bend in the tunnel.
Anya walked over and saw that the cavern opened up beyond the bend. Sheila set down her flashlight on a ledge and flicked on a hidden battery lamp. Jenny came down and stood next to Anya. They stared at the pile of tape-wrapped bags.
What is this stuff?
Anya knelt down and examined one of the bags. A tiny amount of white powder had leaked from a corner.
Looks like cocaine.
Hey! You don't have time to sample the product.
Sheila, you really think Tom is not going to turn on you just like he did David?
He won't. He's my brother, after all.
Sheila, family doesn't mean anything compared to millions of dollars. People have been killing one another for far less and for much longer than you can imagine. Just because you think he won't doesn't mean it can't happen. You're just being naive.
I'm just being loyal. Maybe you can't understand that, but it's gotta count for something. Now let's go. Get those packages and start hauling them out to the truck.
Anya grabbed a bag and slung it over her shoulder. It must have weighed about 30 pounds. Jenny slung one over her back and followed as Anya walked to the cave opening and saw Tom standing there with a frown on his face.
What's taking so long up there?
These things are heavy.
Cry me a river. Now hurry up.
Tom stood back, careful to maintain distance, allowing Anya to get down the rock slope with the bag over her shoulder. He guided her to the truck, and Anya laid the first bag down in the back.
How are you going to deliver this to your friends? You better not get a speeding ticket.
Nobody will stop us in a cop car.
You've thought of everything, haven't you?
Yep. Get moving. There are plenty more bags to haul out here.
Jenny and Sheila appeared on the trail. Jenny was struggling with her bag, and Anya grabbed it from her. Tom frowned.
Let her carry her own load.
I'm more physically fit than she is. You want these bags hauled or what?
Of course I do.
Then let me get her load. She can hand them down to me from the cave entrance and I'll carry them the rest of the way.
Just get on with it. And if you give me the slightest reason, I will shoot you. And then your friend there won't have any choice but to carry the bags. Understand?
Yeah. Come on, Jenny.
As she and Jenny walked back down the trail, Anya leaned close.
You'll have to take out Sheila.
What?
I can't handle them both at the same time. And Tom's the more dangerous one. That shotgun can kill us both with one shot.
I can't do it. Sheila's bigger than I am.
Just get close enough and kick her hard in the knee. When she goes down, stomp her hand and get the gun away. I'll come to you as soon as I can, but I'll have my hands full dealing with Tom.
Hey! You two shut up! You don't want to make me jumpy.
I was asking her how she's doing. Stop being paranoid.
They marched back to the cave, and Jenny climbed back up. Sheila followed. After a minute, Jenny reappeared, staggering under the strain of another heavy bag. She tossed it down to the ground.
Don't throw the damn bags!
Sorry. It slipped.
I'll bet it did. If any of those bags split, I will shoot you!
Anya picked up the bag and started walking back to the car, trying to judge her moment. Tom was already growing impatient. He could snap at any minute. She wondered where Joey was. Had Tom killed him? Or was Joey still alive and rounding up some sort of rescue party? For that matter, what were the odds that Simpson and Baker were somewhere close by? If she could run into them right now, armed as they were, it would help things tremendously. Even their sudden appearance would be enough to give Anya the opening she needed to take down Tom. Anya approached the Tahoe and laid the next bag in the back. She looked over her shoulder at Tom.
How many more of these things are there?
About 24.
That's a big shipment of stuff. How'd you get it into Canada?
I have no idea how the stuff gets into Canada. I just take it over the border and then get it into the hands of the distributors in this part of the country.
So who's going to replace you when you and Sheila take off for parts unknown?
I don't know. It's not my problem.
Isn't it, though? If I were a drug dealer and I had a good thing going, I wouldn't want my supply lines being disrupted because one of my mules decided that things were getting too hot and they wanted to bail.
I've already discussed it with them. They don't have a problem letting us go. They're even loaning us their jet.
Really? Is there a bomb on the plane?
Bomb?
You think drug kingpins are just gonna let you walk away? They can't afford to have anyone who knows their program out there in the world. Their best option is to kill you. I can't believe you haven't thought of that.
Maybe you underestimate the relationship we have with our network of people.
Or maybe I underestimate how naive you and your sister are.
All right, that's enough. Get back to the cave.
Anya walked back to the cave, aware of how much more the rain had been blotted out by the arrival of the dense black clouds overhead. The rain increased as she headed back toward the cave opening. Jenny was already waiting for Anya.
Where have you been?
These bags are heavy. It's not exactly the easiest thing in the world to pull your share of the work.
My share? You volunteered.
You didn't put up a fight.
Anya winked at Jenny and nodded once. Jenny nodded back. Message received.
Get the bag and stop your yapping, you two. Sheila, you okay?
Why on earth wouldn't I be?
I was just checking. Relax, okay?
You don't need to keep checking on me. I can handle my end of this without you.
All right, whatever. Anya, you got that bag yet?
Anya heaved the sack over her shoulder.
Yeah, let's go.
They turned toward the truck and walked down the trail. Anya felt the adrenaline starting to pump through her.
Your sister sounds pretty mad at you.
She always gets that way when I have to decide on something.
Really? So in other words, she's never had the chance to make her own decisions about anything.
She'll get over it. She always does.
But if you're wrong?
About her getting over it? Not likely. You don't know my sister very well.
Well, maybe I don't know Sheila that well. But I know how women think. And here's the thing, Tom. You just killed the only man she might have ever loved.
Like I told her, there are other fish in the sea.
Yeah, I know. But David was probably the first guy she's ever made up her own mind about. How many boyfriends has she had?
I don't know.
Probably not many, because you scared them all away, didn't you?
Not necessarily. A lot of the ones who came nosing around were losers who didn't have anything in mind except getting in her pants.
So, what business is it of yours what she chooses to do and with whom? We all need to make our own mistakes.
Not my sister. She doesn't need to make mistakes. I've made enough of them for both of us.
Well, I'm sure you have. But that doesn't mean Sheila doesn't harbor a big load of resentment against you. And what you did back at the hotel just might cause the dam to break, releasing all of that pent-up emotion. Anger, hatred even.
My sister doesn't hate me.
They reached the truck, and Anya set the bag down on top of the others. She looked at Tom.
Look, you don't have to listen to me. But if I were you, I'd watch my back these next few days. Sheila's a volcano about to explode, and if you're in the path of her destruction, you're toast, pal.
Are you finished analyzing my life?
Like I said, take it or leave it. Makes no difference to me. I'll be dead.
You got that right.
Not even going to attempt to lie to me about the possibility of getting out of this with my life, are you?
Nope. Call it a sign of respect.
I suppose I should thank you for that.
You've still got a lot of carrying to do. Let's get back.
How will you know where to meet these people that you do business with?
Got the map and directions right here in my shirt pocket. It's just a short skip down the old interstate. It's always nice driving into the city anyway. We do the drop, and then Sheila and I continue on to our new home.
Anya closed her eyes and saw the sword hanging there, ready to draw out at a moment's notice. She wanted to wrap her hands around it right now, but the time wasn't right. Not yet. She continued walking down the trail. The rain had increased, and now the steady shower coated everything. The ground grew muddy underfoot.
I'm gonna miss this place.
So why don't you stay and turn yourself in?
Prison's not an option for me.
Yeah, I think that way about death, too.
And death's inevitable. The only question is when we're all gonna go.
I suppose you're right.
It's all just a big question of when, isn't it?
Yep.
And if we knew the when of it all, I wonder if we'd live our lives any differently.
I wouldn't. I'm pretty happy with how things have turned out so far.
You should see it from my perspective.
No thanks. The view's much nicer back here.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Why?
Anya dropped suddenly to one knee and pivoted, sweeping one of her legs out and back at Tom's legs. Anya leapt to her feet. Tom saw the sword coming for him and swept the shotgun up.
You bitch!
He was too slow. The force of the impact knocked the shotgun out of Tom's hands and into the mud. But Tom didn't stop moving, and Anya marveled at his speed as he rolled off the ground and came up, kicking out at her face. Anya ducked under the kick, and he danced away before she could cut him. Anya brought the sword high overhead. Tom threw a handful of wet gravel and dirt into her face. She swung the sword wildly, but missed. Then she felt a thundering sidekick explode against her ribcage. Anya wiped her free hand across her face, desperate to get the gravel out of her eyes. Tears streamed down her face, clouding her vision. Another kick thundered into her opposite side, and this time it was all Anya could do to keep from dropping the sword and collapsing in pain. Anya cut back again, trying to find a target.
Can't hit what you can't see. I am gonna shoot you, you bitch!
She flipped the sword over and heaved it like a javelin. Anya wiped the grit from her face. Then her vision finally cleared. Tom's body lay in a crumpled heap about 15 feet away, a pool of blood staining the ground beneath him. Anya's sword jutted out of the tree trunk nearby.
I missed. I didn't.
She turned and saw Jenny standing there with David's gun in her hands. Anya smiled weakly.
The bastard threw sand into my face. It got into my eyes and I couldn't see a thing.
You okay now?
I think so.
He might have killed you.
Anya looked at Tom. There was a neat hole in the center of his forehead.
You made an incredible shot for someone who's never used a gun before.
What makes you think I've never used a gun?
I just thought you hadn't. You never seemed comfortable around them.
Well, not when Tom was aiming that huge cannon at us from the front seat of his truck.
Where's Sheila?
Back at the cave. I broke her neck.
What?
Single woman needs to know how to take care of herself. Nothing to it, really. You just step up, elbow them in the face, and then loop your arm
in. I get it. No need to get into the details.
So they're both out of the way now. At last.
That means we can get the hell out of here. I'm buying the first drink at the airport.
What about the bodies?
Anya glanced back. The thought of cleaning up two more corpses was appalling, but she couldn't just leave them where they were.
Where did David say the nearest state cops were? An hour away or something like that?
Yeah.
I guess we should call them, huh? At least when we get back to town and talk to Ellen.
What about the other stuff?
The cocaine? It beats me. The cops will take it, I guess. I sure don't want anything to do with it.
It's worth a lot of money, though, isn't it?
Probably worth millions on the street.
They were planning on heading down to Central America, weren't they? Someplace where they could set up shop without the fear of being extradited back to the U.S. It's a pretty good plan.
Yeah, well, their plans are ruined now. Just goes to prove that you can't stop the forces of good. That'd be you and me.
Anya looked at her sword sticking out of the tree and then smiled back at Jenny.
I guess I'd better yank that thing out of there, huh?
Jenny tilted her head and looked at Anya speculatively for a moment. When Anya started walking toward the tree, Jenny pulled back the hammer on her gun and aimed the weapon at Anya's chest.
Don't do that.
Jenny, what are you doing?
I'm finally taking control of my life, that's what.
By shooting me?
I don't want to have to do that. But I can't let you get the sword, or you'll use it on me.
Why would I do that?
There's no way you're gonna let me walk out of here with those drugs. You'll try to stop me. And I'm done with people using me and getting in my way.
Jenny, this is crazy. You've got a great life. Why would you jeopardize that?
I don't have a life. I have an existence. I've got no real career path other than making tenure at some university. My romantic world is a sham. I'm struggling to make ends meet on my crappy salary, and I'm a miserable wreck.
And you think this is the answer to your problems? Stealing drugs and then selling them and taking the money to go run off somewhere? You think your life is tough, Jenny? You should try seeing things from my side. I don't have any family. I don't have many close friends aside from people like you.
Yeah, but you've got a career in television. Lots of fans and all that.
I don't have many fans. The co-anchor on that show gets more fan mail in a day than I do all year. And it's all because she lost her top once during filming.
that's the world we live in these days.
You're paid well, at least.
Well, sure, the money's nice. But it doesn't make all the loneliness go away when it's just me alone in my bed at night. You think I have the life, don't you? That all of this travel is a great adventure for me.
Isn't it?
No, it's not. Do you ever wonder why I spend so much of my time traipsing around the world?
It's pretty obvious, isn't it? You love what you do. The quest for relics and all that stuff. It's your obsession.
Yeah, it's my obsession. That's only part of the story, Jenny. The other part is that I am so scared of ever settling down and committing myself to one thing, one person, one ideal, that I run away from anything that even remotely looks as if it could be a solid foundation for my life.
If that's the case, then why did that sword choose you to be its caretaker?
Isn't it obvious? It knows I'll never stop running toward the bad guys. The last thing that sword would ever want was someone with a regular job, a spouse, and two kids at home. Can you imagine that? It would never get used.
All right, so you've got a crappy life too. Why don't you change it?
I wish it was that easy. The same powers that brought this sword to me will make sure that I never have a moment's rest as long as I try to avoid my destiny.
I wish I could take it from you.
Don't say that. You don't want this thing. I don't even know if I want this thing.
I don't want to hurt you, Anya.
You don't have to hurt me. But you don't have to take those drugs either. There's always a better way.
Is there? I've heard people tell me that all my life. And I never seem to find it. People say to have faith. And yet my faith is never rewarded. And then every day I hear stories of people who are bad, unjust, or evil, who are living a great life. Criminals with more money than God. Even law-abiding people who are cheap bastards and would never give a dime to charity. Even they have the life. I look around me and I see the stupid, the ugly, the crazy, and the just plain hateful people in the world all find someone to love them while I spend all of my nights alone. So when does it all end, Anya? When do I get rewarded for living an honest, hardworking life? When do I wake up and see that all the agony that I've endured has been worth it? When?
I don't know, Jenny. But I can't let you take the drugs.
Why don't you come with me?
Me? No way.
Why not? I'll split the money with you. There's more than enough for both of us to go anywhere we want and live like queens.
You haven't been listening to me, have you? Didn't you hear what I said earlier? I can't live my life the way I want to. The sword controls me now.
Throw the sword away, then.
It's not that easy.
You threw it easily enough at Tom there.
And look where it is now.
Jenny glanced to her right. The sword wasn't embedded in the trunk of the tree anymore.
Where is it?
Back with me. Inside. Always with me. No matter what.
Don't even think about pulling it out. I won't hesitate to shoot you.
Yes, you will.
Anya winced as the air broke near her left ear. A single shell casing spun out of the ejector port on the side of the pistol and spiraled to the ground. Jenny regarded her now with a certain detachment.
I don't think you want to make a wrong assumption again, Anya.
Guess not.
How much have you put in the truck?
A few bags. Not that much.
So you'll load the rest of it, then?
No, I won't.
Don't make me shoot you. I'm getting tired of saying it.
I'm getting tired of hearing it.
So that's it?
That's it.
This isn't how I wanted things to end with you, Anya. But I'm sure it's nothing that a couple million dollars won't help me forget about.
If you think for one second that you'll ever forget about this, then you're sadly mistaken.
Am I really? And how would you know?
Because I carry the memory of every person I've ever killed. They never leave you. Whenever you think they're gone, they just come back even stronger than before.
I guess I'll have to learn to live with it. Just like you did, huh?
Yeah. But the people I've killed have all been bad. I've never done what you're about to do.
Jenny looked up as the drizzle started to taper off and the clouds seemed to thin.
Weather's getting better. That should make loading the truck easier.
For you.
Still not going to help.
No.
Jenny positioned the pistol in both of her hands and adopted a solid shooter's stance.
I'll put two in your heart. It will be over quickly.
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to remember something.
And what would that be?
That I saved your life.
Joey saved my life, not you.
No. If I hadn't taken the spirit walk with Joey's grandfather, we never would have found you.
Why didn't you tell me that before?
Because when I do these things, I'm not looking for bragging rights. I do them because I don't have any other choice. It's who I am. how I'm wired. I can't not help people.
I understand.
Do you?
Yes. But I still have to do what I have to do.
And this decision you're making now? The one to kill me? That's all for you, huh?
Yes. It is.
Then I wish you the very best of luck with your life.
Thanks.
See you on the other side, my friend.
Anya closed her eyes, not wanting to look anymore at the terrible, cold mask of Jenny's face.
Goodbye, Anya.
Anya's eyes flew open as she felt the impact in her chest. She looked down, but there was no blood. The blade of the sword hovered in front of her. She frowned and looked at Jenny. Jenny's shirt had two dark, blossoming stains on it. She looked down, shocked.
What happened?
The sword had deflected the bullets and sent them back into Jenny's chest instead of Anya's. Jenny tottered, dropping the pistol into the mud.
No!
Anya ran to Jenny, catching her before she fell. She helped ease Jenny down to the ground. A pinkish stream of blood oozed out of Jenny's mouth.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
Jenny's eyes rolled over white, and she went limp in Anya's arms. Anya closed Jenny's eyelids and then let her body down gently. She sat there, tears pouring down her cheeks, looking at the peaceful expression on Jenny's face. Anya used her sleeve to wipe the bloody trail from Jenny's mouth. Finally, she hauled herself up and squatted next to Tom's body, pulling a sheaf of papers from his shirt pocket. She studied the map and directions briefly. She hadn't driven in that part of the country before, but the directions seemed easy enough to follow. Then she walked over to the back of the Tahoe, picked one of the sacks she'd carried, and opened it. The plastic bags of white powder stared up at her.
No more.
She turned back to the trail and headed toward the cave. She passed Sheila's body on the way inside. Her head was bent at an odd angle. Jenny had told the truth. Anya heaved two of the bags on her shoulders and carted them down to the Tahoe. She dumped them inside and then repeated the process 10 more times. Each time the bags got too heavy, Anya simply remembered how Jenny's face had looked as she died, and her anger gave her strength. Anya finished loading up the truck. The rain started again as Anya looked at Jenny's body. She had to see someone about this, but who? Who would believe her? And what would they say when they saw all the corpses? Her options weren't good.
Now what do I do?
Anya.
She turned. Joey walked out of the darkness. Anya ran to him and hugged him close. He wore a bandage on his head. She felt the lump underneath it.
I thought you were dead.
Yeah, well, Tom sure swung for the fences when he hit me. Where is the jerk anyway?
He's dead. Over there.
I can't believe how he was using this place. Where's his partner in crime?
In the cave they stashed us in this morning. She's dead, too.
You killed her?
Not me. Jenny.
Where is she?
She's dead, Joey.
What? How?
She made a bad decision, and it cost her her life.
You killed her?
No. In a way, she killed herself.
Oh, man. So much death.
Too much death, my friend. But I am glad to see you.
Likewise. I heard those shots and we came running.
We?
From behind Joey, two men stepped into view. Simpson and Baker smiled faintly at her.
Hello, Anya.
Agent Simpson. Agent Baker.
Nice to see you again. Shame it's under these circumstances.
Agent Baker nodded in agreement. Anya moved Joey behind her, ready to unleash the sword.
Anya.
Not now, Joey. Let me handle this.
Hang on. I think you might want to listen to him.
Okay. What do you want to tell me, Joey?
They're not here to trap the Sasquatch.
What?
They're special agents with the Drug Enforcement Agency.
DEA?
We knew there was a lot of illegal contraband coming into this area, but no one knew exactly where it ended up. Several towns border this forest, so we decided to set up shop, see what we could find out. That's why we had to run you and your friends out of the woods the other day. We didn't want anyone getting hurt in case we found the dealers.
And the Sasquatch thing was just a cover story? Couldn't you think of something more plausible?
No, oh, it's amazing what you can sell as a cover story. Paranoia is at an all-time high. And we're not happy about that, but we're not beyond using it for our own purposes either.
Swell.
Simpson shrugged, then pointed at Tom's body.
He was the ringleader?
Guess so. His sister Sheila's up in the cave down the trail there. And there's another body back at the hotel in town. David the sheriff. The partners had a little dispute, and he lost out.
He was in on it?
Afraid so.
Damn.
I was trying to figure out how to take care of the body of my friend.
The cute one?
She would have liked hearing you say that.
How'd she die?
Life got to be too much.
Simpson eyed the bodies and rubbed his forehead in thought.
We need to clean things up here. Call in the state authorities. You have anything else to add to what we've seen so far? Any sign of where they stashed the drugs?
Anya considered the packages in the back of the truck. She thought about how many people would have suffered once those drugs hit the streets. And she thought about how the criminals who peddled them would have laughed all the way to the bank. She shook her head.
No, nothing else to add. I think you guys have got it all sewn up here.
By the way, what exactly were they doing up here with you two anyway?
They brought us here to kill us, Simpson. I'm gonna give Joey a ride back to his grandfather's. Any problems with me taking David's truck?
Nah, go ahead. Just leave your friend's body here. We'll have the state police take good care of her.
You sure?
Least we can do.
The rain tapered off, but still dotted their faces. Baker looked at Anya.
This is the part of the drug war people never really see. The collateral damage.
Maybe it's time to let the criminals know they can't get away with this stuff.
And maybe you're right.
Get in the truck, Joey.
In front of Dancing Deer's house, Joey jumped out of the truck, shut his door, and walked around to the driver's side. Anya rolled down her window.
You're going off on your own, aren't you?
Yeah, I have to.
You're not afraid? You don't seem to be afraid of anything, at least to me.
Well, I'm afraid of plenty of things, but I can't let that fear stop me from doing what's right.
I understand. Sometimes the path of the warrior is surrounded on all sides by many foes, but only the warrior can fight his way out of the bad situation. Help is not help at all.
That another one of your grandfather's sage sayings?
Nope. Mine. I'm trying some out to see how they sound.
You'd better get inside now before you catch a cold to go along with that concussion.
Will you come back?
I don't know. What I'm about to do might just be the last thing I ever attempt.
In that case, I hope the spirits of all my ancestors travel with you and help you on your quest. Even if the final battle is yours alone.
Thank you.
Joey stepped back as she rolled up her window. Anya backed out of the driveway. A light came on over the porch, and she saw Dancing Deer with his right hand upraised. She held up her hand and felt a sensation of warmth come over her. Joey stood there for a second, and then he turned and ran into the house. In another moment, the light was off. Anya slid the Tahoe into gear and drove back to the main road. She made it back to the interstate after 20 minutes of hard driving. The hard rain seemed to be keeping everyone at home. Anya hoped it stayed that way. She reached into the glove compartment and found a cell phone. She flipped it open and dialed the number on the paper that had been in Tom's pocket.
Yeah?
I'm on my way. I've got it.
Oh, good. You know the place?
Yeah.
How long?
Maybe 40 minutes.
Tom with you?
Nope, just me.
He's making you do all the legwork now, huh?
I guess so. What else are brothers for, huh?
You sound different. You okay?
Just a cold. Been out in the rain all damn night getting this stuff. Now I'm coming down with something.
Huh. Well, when we finish up our business, maybe we can get a drink.
Sure.
It'll be nice to see you again, Sheila.
Yeah. Gotta go.
Anya flipped the phone closed and tossed it into the seat next to her.
Scumbag.
If the guy on the other end of the phone knew Sheila and what she looked like, then Anya would have to rethink her plan. She navigated her way to the outskirts of the city. After another 20 minutes of travel, she rolled into the rendezvous site. She didn't expect anyone to be there yet. She'd told the guy on the phone that she was still 40 minutes away to buy herself some time. The pickings were slim. She looked around and saw that the meeting place was in the middle of a parking lot at the end of an alley next to a warehouse. The warehouse was long boarded up and shuttered, so Anya wouldn't have access to it. Just as bad was the fact that the parking lot was wide open from all sides. It would have been tough positioning a sniper at distance for this meet, let alone finding a way to handle the group who were no doubt already on their way.
Great. Now what do?
Another burst of rain opened up on the car, and the water fell down so hard, she had to turn the wipers up to full speed. Anya was glad she wasn't out in the rain, but it did give her an idea. She would have to stay inside the truck until the last possible second. Once her contacts arrived, they wouldn't be able to see inside the car because of the rain-streaked windows. They wouldn't know who she was until she got out. So she would have to throw herself out of the truck and come up attacking them as they arrived. It was the only way. If she could get to them before they all got out of their cars, then she'd have a fighting chance. But if she messed up and they were all out, they could simply mow her down as she came at them.
Yeah?
It's me! We're 5 minutes out. You there?
Just got here. How do you want to do this? You want to come to me, or you want me to come to you?
Oh, no. I'll come to you. I wouldn't want you getting wet. We do the deal, and then my guys take the stuff from you while we conclude our paperwork.
Paperwork. Right.
See you in 5 minutes.
Anya closed her eyes and saw the sword in her mind's eye, right where it should be. If he was going to come to her, then that might tip the odds in Anya's favor. She could even hold him hostage, maybe. She frowned. Once they arrived, they'd want to finish things up fast and get out of there. No sense hanging around, waiting for the local cops to cruise by. A set of lights cut through the darkness. Anya frowned. Had it already been 5 minutes? She didn't think so. The car coming across the parking lot slowed down. Anya couldn't see a thing aside from its lights with all the rain sluicing down. The car slowed to a stop and the headlights remained on. Anya licked her lips and steeled herself. This was going to get messy. She saw a car door open and then close. In the rainy night, a figure walked over, but he seemed completely unconcerned about the rain that must have been drenching him. He came close and tapped on the window. She lowered the window just a crack.
Yeah?
You gonna let me in?
Why would I do that?
Oh, because I'm getting soaked standing out here in the damn rain, that's why.
Hang on a second.
Anya slid the power window back up and checked herself out in the mirror. She looked a mess. Dirt streaked her face. Her hair was a shambles. Maybe this guy hadn't seen Sheila in a long time. Maybe he forgot what she looked like. But it was a big chance. Anya unlocked the doors. She watched the man walk around to the other side of the truck. Anya turned away toward her own window as the man got in.
Damn, it's a mess out there tonight. Maybe we should have just arranged to do this tomorrow, huh?
Yeah.
It's been a while, Sheila. How have you been?
Anya turned and looked at the man sitting next to her.
I've been good, thanks. Unfortunately, I don't think you'll be saying the same thing in a few minutes.
What the...
The man threw his left elbow directly at Anya's face. She ducked, but she couldn't avoid his next move.
Bad move, jerk.
He chopped at her with the edge of his hand, but she blocked him from breaking her nose. With his right hand, he clawed at the door handle, trying desperately to get out.
You're not going anywhere.
She yanked at the collar of his coat, forcing him to face her. Anya spotted the glitter of the blade just as the man stabbed at her. Anya deflected his arms and the blade, then punched straight into his solar plexus. He tried to slash her across the throat, but Anya leaned back over her seat and then felt her own door swing open, sending the upper part of her body out into the rain upside down. Instantly, the doors on the other cars opened, and the men started to pour out. All of them were armed with submachine guns. Anya slid out of the truck and then rolled behind it as the first bullets ricocheted off the asphalt near her. Anya closed her eyes and summoned her sword. The man Anya had been fighting with came out of the truck.
Shoot her! Shoot her! That's not Sheila!
All around the Tahoe, the air exploded. Anya huddled near the back, trying to use the truck's bulk to shield her.
Reload! Reload!
Anya came out of her squat and ran around the side of the truck, holding the sword high. She swung at the closest man, who was frantically fiddling with his magazine release. She cut through him, spilling his blood in a splash on the ground. The next man snapped his magazine home, ratcheted the slide, and started to bring up the barrel of the gun as Anya ducked down, spun, and cut him horizontally across the chest. The next man was armed with an assault rifle. Anya leaped into the air, bringing the sword high overhead and cutting down. He used the barrel of the gun to deflect her move to the side. She cut back horizontally, but he jerked his legs back, gaining distance. Anya dove forward. She felt a sting on her ear and felt a warm flow of blood as a bullet or a piece of asphalt cut her. She rolled and came up under the arms of the man in front of her. Anya stabbed straight up, but again the man arched back, letting the blade fly past his sternum. He used his momentum to pivot, drop, and kick Anya squarely in the chest. She aimed a fist at the man's head. Anya dropped low and then plunged the sword in deep. She yanked the sword free as the man fell dead on the crumbling asphalt. Anya jerked the sword up in front of her and felt the bullet slam into the blade, making it twist in her hands. She ran toward the closest gunman and slashed. His severed hands, still holding his gun, hit the ground just before Anya sliced him from his hip up to his neck. She felt the stab of a bullet puncturing her thigh. The shooter's eyes widened as Anya drove the sword at him. He staggered back, and Anya pressed her attack until he tripped and fell. Anya reflexively jerked her body to the right, tucking into a tight ball as she rolled and came up, launching her sword at the last of the henchmen. Blade thrust into his midsection, driving all the way to the hilt. The man looked down. His eyes rolled back. He slipped to the ground on his own blood. Anya pulled the sword free and finally turned to the last man standing in the parking lot, the man who had been in the truck with her.
Whoa! Who are you?
Anya Creed.
Did we, like, do something to you or your family?
You don't know me. But I just lost a close friend tonight because of the shit you were going to buy from Tom and Sheila.
Tonight? Because she got involved with Tom and Sheila?
And she got tempted by the thought of all that money you're gonna pay them.
We weren't gonna pay them a dime. We were gonna kill them for leaving the operation. People are making money. They don't like when someone screws that up.
I told them you'd kill them if they came down here.
So did Tom and Sheila think you could kill us and that would be it?
Tom and Sheila are dead.
You killed them?
My friend. The one who died tonight. She did it.
Sounds like you guys had quite the party. Anyone left alive?
You mean Dave.
You know about Dave too, huh? Is he still breathing?
Not after Tom used a shotgun on him.
I always knew that guy had more than a few screws loose. Shotgun, huh? Messy.
I had to clean it up.
Is that before or after your friend killed Tom?
Before.
No shit.
He looked around. Five bodies were spread out near the car they'd driven up in.
Just you and me now, huh?
Not for much longer.
That's some blade. How come I didn't see it when I got into the truck with you?
It was raining.
So, you gonna do me with that the way you did my guys? Stab me through the heart?
Nope. I think I've got some stuff that belongs to you.
The man regarded her for a minute. She nodded toward the truck, and he walked over to the Tahoe. Anya gripped the sword in her right hand and eased the back door open with her left. Inside, piles of bags filled with cocaine lay on the floor.
Yeah, that's the stuff. Looks like you brought all of it, too. Good girl.
This is what you wanted, right?
Yeah.
Anya sliced open one of the bags. Brilliant white powder spilled out.
Oh, pretty sight. Some people call it heaven.
In that case, why don't you pay it a visit?
What?
Anya grabbed the back of his head and shoved him face first into the powder. He struggled, but Anya's strength, fueled by rage, was too much for him. His body trembled and his legs jerked in an awful death spasm before Anya finally let him slide away to the ground. He landed face up, coated in the white powder he'd ingested.
I hope you like heaven.
Anya closed her eyes and sent the sword away, then walked around to the front of the car and dug in the glove compartment for the lighter she'd seen there. She flicked on the flame and carefully set the seats on fire. In seconds, the cocaine was cooking in the drizzly night air. Anya took a final look at the scene and limped away. Anya sat in the police station, nursing a cup of coffee and looking at Ellen, who eyed her with concern.
So, the leg's okay?
Seems to be fine. Nothing critical was damaged. That uniform looks good on you.
I'm still getting used to people calling me sheriff, and I don't exactly know if it feels right, all things considered.
What do you mean?
Well, here I was working with Dave every day, and yet I had no clue that he, Sheila, and Tom were all involved in the drug business. Seems like I should have known somehow.
No one sees everything all the time. In any event, you'll have plenty of opportunities to make sure things go well here in town now.
Simpson and Baker said you left in an awful hurry when they last saw you.
I had some unfinished business I had to attend to. They know where to reach me if they need to.
I heard something interesting on the police bulletin wire. Apparently there was a scene at some parking lot down in the city. 6 dead bodies, a few abandoned cars, including one belonging to the late sheriff, and a smoldering pile of cocaine.
Yeah, well, you know how dangerous life can be in the big city.
That I do. It's one reason I stay out here in the backwater of civilization.
Maybe you'll have a chance to get some more folks coming through here now.
That'd be great. We've got an abandoned hotel down at the end of Main Street. Might be nice if someone bought it and reopened it for business.
Not me. I've got too many other things I need to take care of.
Ellen glanced down at the package on the desk.
That her stuff?
Anya looked at the envelope containing Jenny's personal effects.
Yeah. I have to take them to her family and explain what happened. I figured it's the least I can do for her, considering all the stuff she went through.
We never really know, do we?
What's that?
What people are like. We make friends, we live with them, we love them, but deep down inside, they're always a mystery. And sometimes the only way to unravel it is when they die on us.
Sometimes death is no solution to any mystery. Only the start of it.
You come back anytime, you hear? I'd be honored to call you my friend.
Anya shook Ellen's hand and then gave her a hug.
Consider it my honor as well. You take care of yourself, Sheriff.
Anya scooped up the envelope and walked outside to her rental car. Joey was leaning against the car with his arms crossed.
I heard you'd come back to town.
I was gonna come see you.
Were you?
Come on. I'll give you a lift.
Anya and Joey climbed into the car, and Anya started the engine. As she slid the car into gear, she looked at Joey.
How are you?
Fine. Everyone's trying to get over the shock of what happened. Even though Dave never necessarily came out and kept anyone under his thumb, people still felt it. And since Tom and Sheila were in on it, that just reinforced the effect. With them gone, things will blossom.
Blossom?
Yeah.
Nice choice of words. I found out that it was David who killed Chi-Hawk. He must have been tracking us that night.
I eventually figured out it was him as well. I'm glad I tried to blow up his truck.
That was you? Jenny and I were in that truck.
I didn't know you two would stumble across him, or that he'd switched vehicles with the feds. Obviously, I never meant for that to happen to you.
Yeah, thanks, pal. That was a close one.
Sorry, okay? I was so upset when Chi-Hawk died. It was all I could do not to freak out.
I'd have to say that trying to blow up someone's truck comes pretty damn close to freaking out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Why didn't you confront him?
What? And risk him shooting me?
He almost did anyway.
Good point.
When you're an adult, you'll learn all about foresight.
But apparently not the dangers of hitchhiking.
Wise ass. So where are we going?
I know a place. And I want to show you something before you leave town for good.
Anya drove for about 2 miles outside of town. Joey motioned to a spot near a sharp rock face.
Park there. I think you need this. From up here, we can see for quite a distance. It's one of my favorite places to come whenever I need to be with my friends.
I think we all need a place like that.
Anya walked to the edge of the precipice. Far below, she could see the swirling waters of the river that had nearly claimed their lives. She could see the mountains and the forests that had both ravaged and sheltered them. And overhead, clouds and sun mingled in the pale blue sky.
It's time to say goodbye, Anya.
I wish things could have been different at the end with Jenny. See you on the other side.
If it's all the same to you, I think I'll stay here for a while.
Really?
I'll find my own way back home.
I know you will.
It's been an adventure, Anya Creed.
Joey wrapped his arms around her and squeezed her tight. Anya hugged him back and smiled, fresh tears flowing out of her eyes.
It sure has, Creeping Wolf. You take care of yourself.
Don't forget the journey you took when you were here. We're connected now, you and me. We'll keep each other's secrets. Don't ever forget.
I won't.
Anya kissed his cheek and turned back toward her car.
Be well, Joey.
You too.
Anya walked to the car, but paused and turned around.
What's your secret, Joey?
Joey was gone. But something nearby drew Anya's eye. She walked to the edge of the path where the grass met it and crouched down. In the dirt, she could see the marked impressions of a footprint. A big footprint. 5 splayed toes topped a footprint that must have been at least 15 inches long. And some distance farther on, Anya found another one, leading off toward the same rock face that she and Joey had just climbed. "Whenever I need to be with my friends," he'd said. Anya smiled. He knew all along, she thought. Creeping Wolf wasn't just some crazy kid who liked to run around in the woods. As he'd said himself, he was the caretaker of this place, this little Eden. No wonder he'd been so quick to dismiss the reports and the sightings and everything else that went with the legends. To say otherwise would have meant a rush of thrill seekers. And that would have meant the forest and the creatures, all the creatures that inhabited it, would be at risk. Anya walked back to the car, but paused as she took one final glance over her shoulder.
Your secret's safe with me.
Rogue Angel Footprints is a Graphic Audio production. Rogue Angel trademark owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 2009, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2010, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Yasmin Quazon, Joe Brack, Eric Messner, Thomas Penny, Elizabeth Demery, Mort Shelby, David Coyne, Michael Glenn, Lily Beacon, and Richard Rowan. Additional Richards performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Greg Reinfeld and Nathaniel Perry. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Additional original music by Matt Webb. Book adapted for graphic audio by Cheryl Hayes. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for the Vada's War series, available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
What have you done, girl? And it was you. Don't you lie to me. Last man coming into the way told me a gemstone hit the Father Abbot, and that all the monks were amazed that someone had struck so hard and from so far away. They had wards in place against such attacks, so it said. So they and I know the assassin was a person of great power with the stones. Only one person I know could have done that.
Avalyn Desbris could have torn his head from his shoulders.
And Avalyn is dead. We both know that. And we know, too, who it was that has his gemstones. And one of those stones was Lodestone, was it not? And it was a Lodestone that hit the Father Abbot. So where is your Lodestone, girl?
Gilsepony has suffered greatly at the hands of Father Abbot Marquardt.
She acted rashly and without regard for greater events about her.
Events that she could not know of, since we have not contacted her.
Events that include the child in her womb? That fact alone should have stayed her hand. The Abelican Church will realize almost absolute control over the city now, and they will orchestrate every movement of King Danube, using security as an excuse. Your friend has cost us much.
Jiro the Assassin.
You hit me hard, my dear. Do you see what you have done to me? And only by the power of the gemstones am I able to paint an image of my face as it was. And only by the telepathic power of the soul stone am I able to communicate so that those around me think that I am speaking to them. I know you, and I am coming for you.
For the rabbit, you must flee.
Hinder her not. And know that when this day is through, our power will be even greater in Hans the Bear. Be gone!
Don't miss the cataclysmic conclusion of the third book of the Demon Wars saga, The Demon Apostle, Part 3.
Smoke Jensen is an honest man trying to make an honest living.
I hear you're selling your stock, Smoke.
Most of it. Gonna raise horses, Monty. Oh, I'll keep a small herd, but nothing like we've had out at the Sugarloaf.
You using the rails?
I wish, Monty. No. This'll be a hard drive, all the way up to Montana, into a big valley. Town's called Blacktown. Fellow up there by the name of T.J. Dugan wants the whole damn herd.
But what Smoke Jensen doesn't realize is he'll be leading his herd right into the territory of the most notorious cattle baron in all of the land, Clint Black.
Well, the boys would be awfully disappointed. Do you really think this Mr. Black would harm a boy?
From what I've heard about him, I think he's probably capable of doing just about anything.
When Clint Black hears that Smoke Jensen is coming to town, he gets the idea to set an ambush and murder Jensen and his entire crew.
This is all that survived?
Yeah. We lost 13 all told.
The boys?
Willie, Jake, and Rabbit. They dragged Rabbit. Davy took a slug through the head. Johnson made a fight of it. Nate and Little Ben fought them to the end.
I found Jake's body. They shot him in the belly. He died hard.
But Clint Black will make one dire mistake. He'll leave Smoke Jensen alive and hungry for revenge. Don't miss all the blood-soaked action in Smoke Jensen number 10, Courage of the Mountain Man. In this one, everybody dies.
I'm hoping my brother will pull his horns and get straightened out.
Too late.
Why?
Because I'm gonna kill him, that's why.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets that include 5 books of a series, available only at www.graphicaudio.net.